All righty, we're going to get started. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar, Built to Bend, Not Break: Versatility as Your Superpower in Uncertain Times. My name is Mary Kate Bond, and I'm the Senior Associate for Marketing here at MIA. Before we jump into the webinar topic, I'm going to go over just a few quick items. First, for those who are not familiar with MIA, we are the Midwest Energy Efficiency Alliance. MIA is a collaborative network promoting energy efficiency to optimize energy generation, reduce consumption, create jobs, and decrease carbon emissions in all Midwest communities. We leverage our expertise to be the Midwest's leading resource for our members, allies, policymakers, and the broader sector to promote the economic, environmental, and societal benefits for energy efficiency for all. We are a membership organization bringing together over 170 organizations covering all aspects of the energy efficiency industry. Many of you in attendance are members, but some are not. So if you need a member benefit refresh or want to see some of the benefits, here they are. You might not know that MIA membership benefits extend to all staff of our member organizations. If you're interested in becoming a member or learning more, you can scan the QR codes on the right to request a membership quote or to schedule a call with our membership team. And you can do that whether you're a member already or not yet a member. And I'll also pop those links in the chat for people to access as well. So now I'm going to pass it over to Maria to jump into the actual webinar.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Good. Okay, wonderful. Hey, I want to thank everyone for being here today. Time is our greatest resource, and so I really appreciate the time that you have committed to this conversation. Hopefully, it's a little bit more of a conversation than anything. And you know, I don't know about you, but it's been a wild ride in 2025. And I was given the opportunity by MIA to present this webinar. And I thought that we all just need to take a little bit of time and talk about versatility because it really can be our superpower. And so we'll go over to the next slide. And this is how the day's going to go for the next hour. We have some polls that are mixed into the presentation. Thank you to Mary Kate for making that happen. We're going to hear from Claire on the industry snapshot, look at a couple of case studies, some takeaways and information about our approach to versatility at Green Home Experts. We'll have some time for a Q&A. If you have burning questions or any commentary, or if you want to start a discussion in the chat during the presentation, please feel free to use the chat tool before we get to the Q&A. And then at the end, we have a self-assessment that I will be sending out to everyone afterwards to just take a look at where you score yourself on versatility, where you see your strengths are, and where you might see you have some room for improvement. So we are going to start with a little bit of housekeeping, which I think I actually just sort of went over, which brings us to the first question in our poll. So my question for you is, how would you rate your ability to adapt to change at work? And you have five different options. So please feel free, go ahead and vote in that poll. And then we'll have those results come in and take a look at the results in a few minutes. So Green Home Experts is the company that I own. I started it in 2007, and we exist to support utility-funded energy efficiency programs. We're located in Lyons, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. And we basically have a few tools in our tool belt, one of which is workforce development. We also provide kitting, product distribution, and pick and pack services for utility programs. We work on EOS. Some of you may have heard that before, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And so in our system, we operate on our core values, which basically means that these are the values that we draw on for all of our decision making, big, big decisions, little decisions, short term, long term. If the decision doesn't fit in our core values, then we know we need to change our minds about something. And one of those core values for us is about being versatile. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, when it comes to versatility, I have found that there are two ways that this can go. Oftentimes, I have been reminded of the saying, be a tree, bend but don't break. And I think in order to look like the palm tree on the right that's growing toward the sun and that's enjoying that beautiful scenery, the warm weather, who's living life by the beach, we have to be able to get through the stormy weather. And so if we can bend and if we can be strong and versatile in the storm, then when the weather clears up, we'll still be around to enjoy it. Oh, good. I see some people introducing themselves in the chat. Please keep doing that. That's great. So we can go to the next slide, and we do have our poll results. Oh, shoot, MK, I just missed that. Perfect, thank you. So this is great. I'm glad nobody said I'm not sure. That's a good way to start. Also great that no one on here said that versatility, their ability to adapt to change is challenging. Most of the group came in right at good with some of the group up top saying they're very strong and others acknowledging that they have some room for improvement there. So that's wonderful. Thank you for taking that poll. The next question that we have about versatility is, in the past year, which one of these challenges has tested your flexibility the most? It's funny because obviously, depending on what's going on personally and professionally and politically, this answer can change. I know I can see like how I would have had different answers over different times, but I'm curious to know in the past year, which one of these challenges has tested you the most? And we'll take a look at those results in a few slides. Okay, we'll pass it on over.
Thanks, Maria, for that great introduction to the rest of this webinar. My name's Clara Stein, and I am a Legislative and Regulatory Affairs Associate on MIA's policy team. And I'll be providing a bit of an industry snapshot, focusing on the last few months and changes on the federal level to provide a little bit more context for why versatility matters so much right now. And the next slide would be great. Perfect. So, as Maria alluded to, a lot has been changing recently, and a lot has happened in the last few months or so. So, I'm going to start with some high-level coverages of what's been happening in terms of shifting regulations and political uncertainty before I dive into a few more topics. So, first of all, Commissioner Willie Phillips resigned his seat from the FERC after a request from the White House that he step down. This leads to the FERC likely having a 3-2 Republican majority after President Trump announces his nominee. This shifts from a previous 3-2 Democratic majority on the FERC commission. Appliance standards have very much been in flux over the last few weeks. So I'll roll through a few updates chronologically from the last couple of weeks. On March 24th, Secretary Wright announced that the DOE was postponing the effective date of three new appliance standard rules and officially withdrawing four other federal appliance standards, which include electric motors, ceiling fans, dehumidifiers, and external power supplies. Collectively, these orders will dramatically reduce the potential for energy savings. Additionally, the administration announced on April 9th that they will alter the definition of showerhead in an attempt to roll back the previous definition and efficiency standards for showerheads. This expanded definition would theoretically allow for less efficient showerheads to come to market. More recently, in the last few weeks, there have been multiple attempts to roll back previous standards, which will likely face legal challenges. On May 9th, President Trump signed several Congressional Review Act resolutions that repeal newer efficiency standards passed by the previous administration. And then on May 12th, Secretary Wright announced that the DOE will rescind even more energy and water efficiency standards, including standards for clothes washers and dryers, dishwashers, battery chargers, microwaves, and more. We can expect to see legal challenges to these rollbacks for possible violations of federal law. Additionally, on the regulatory side, there have been multiple EPA deregulatory actions, including the regulations governing power plants. And on to the executive orders of it all. Listed here are three of the major EOs that MIA has been tracking, including the zero-based regulatory budgeting to unleash American energy, protecting American energy from state overreach, and unleashing American energy. For the sake of time, I'm just going to touch on unleashing American energy, which was one of President Trump's day one executive orders. This executive order, for those who are not familiar with it, immediately paused disbursements of funds under the IRA and IIJA for at least 90 days. It required all agencies to review their processes and policies regarding dispersing funds under these programs to ensure compliance with the policy sections of the executive order and submit a report within 90 days. On April 15th, a federal judge issued the clearest ruling so far on the illegality of this executive order. The ruling ordered the EPA and the Department of Energy to immediately resume dispersing funds under the Inflation Reduction Act and Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, IIJA. And Kim, the next slide, please. Thanks. And so this brings us to more budget cuts and program volatility, highlighting programs under the IRA and IIJA. So generally, there have been multiple threats to the IRA and IIJA grant programs over the last few months, from the executive order that we just referenced, to other actions targeting both obligated funds and unobligated funds. The Trump administration has been aggressively attempting to terminate IRA award agreements and claw back committed funds. Most recently, the EPA purported to terminate eight awards under the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, collectively worth about $20 billion. The EPA also attempted to terminate 14 awards under the Environmental and Climate Justice Block Grants Program. Terminations under both programs are being challenged in court, but if the EPA is successful in these cases, it would claw back previously awarded funds and leave those funds unobligated. This kind of brings us to the current budget reconciliation process. So currently, negotiations are in process through the budget reconciliation process, which do target many unobligated funds from the IRA. These are IRA funds that were not fully awarded, potentially with a longer timeline for grant awardees, or that were still in contract negotiations upon the start of the new administration. It is unclear what percentage of funds remain unobligated, but some estimates posit that potentially $9.65 billion of the appropriated $62 billion may currently be unobligated. Something to note, especially as we talk about energy efficiency throughout this conversation, is that the home energy rebates have not been directly mentioned in many of these conversations, unlike some of the other IRA programs, which seem to be under greater threat. Other pieces in terms of budget reconciliation are that over the past month, there have been rumors that the administration plans to cut the EPA Energy Star program, and the White House's budget request included a request to completely cut the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP. You can read more about threats to LIHEAP, Energy Star, and ongoing attempts to roll back appliance standards in one of MIA's latest blogs on our website. There are additional threats to different tax credits, including the Energy Efficiency Home Improvement Credit. Generally, our takeaway for these budget reconciliation processes, though, is that this is a long process. There are attempts to move a reconciliation package out of the House by Memorial Day, but after that, the package will still have to move through the Senate, which will likely be a longer and more contentious process. Estimates seem to be that a budget will likely not pass until August. So there is still time, and much is likely to change in ensuing negotiations. MIA is continuing to monitor reconciliation closely. But yeah, nothing is final yet. So really now is the time to speak up about the programs that impact your work. And many organizations that do grassroots lobbying have action alerts out at the moment. And next slide would be great. Okay. Fantastic. So now I'll quickly touch on some of the supply chain disruptions, which are one of the hardest issues to predict at this time as tariffs continue to change and trade negotiations are underway. But a few things that we do know are that China is the largest producer of green tech and underlying supply chains, and a major producer of HVAC parts and supplies for both gas and electric heating and cooling systems. With ensuing tariffs, HVAC prices are projected to increase across the industry. This is due to rising equipment costs as tariffs make HVAC parts pricier. There are also likely to be installation delays as fewer parts lead to longer wait times. And there may be a rise in labor costs as technician costs tend to increase as demand and material cost rises. Generally, this could lead to homeowners delaying upgrades and suffering from higher bills in that delayed period due to mounting budget pressures as inflation continues to rise. There are also a few workforce considerations to keep in mind that with cuts to federal programs aimed at building the energy efficiency workforce, there are likely to be continuous strains on program implementation. Other pieces that are really impacting the energy system right now are potential conflicts between the USA and Canada, creating conversation around a electric tariff, which is currently suspended, but would have impacts for some of our more northern states. And generally, at the end of the snapshot, our main takeaway is across the energy efficiency ecosystem is that this administration is really creating deep uncertainty into the future regulations, funding, and prices. And what we need now more than ever is versatility and agility. And with that, I'll pass things back over to Maria, and I'll be happy to answer any questions during the Q&A section.
Thanks, Clara. Thanks for bringing the room down. Actually, I'm kidding. Thank you for giving us context as to why we need to talk a little bit more about versatility these days. So, one of the sayings that I have with my kids is it's not necessarily about what happens to you, it's about what you do next. And in keeping with that theme, I've come up with a couple of case studies that come from our experience at Green Home Experts about how we created a versatile solution to a challenge that was brought before us. So the first one that we have highlighted here actually comes from 2016. It's hard to believe that there was a time in our history when we didn't build energy efficiency kits. But in 2016, that is actually where we found ourselves. And we had gotten a referral from an existing customer to a new customer who said, "Hey, we could really use your help with kitting. Is that something that you can do?" And in typical fashion, I said yes, and then went to work on figuring that out. So, this customer was doing the kitting in-house, and they were building the kits in their conference room. They were using interns to do it. They had a building that really couldn't accept deliveries very well. They got through the pilot successfully, very much to their credit. But when it became a full-fledged program, they needed more than just a conference room and interns to make the program successful. So what we did was we found a way to bring the kitting operation into our warehouse, providing the measures, managing the inventory, and my favorite part is supplying the labor that was needed to handle the kitting program. That program has changed implementers since 2016, but we actually continue to build the kits and have built, let's see, probably upwards of very close to 1 million kits for that one particular program. So, the impact that came from our versatile solution is 3 points. We made the workload easier for the customer by getting them out of the operation and back into program management. Our capabilities in using a warehouse and having supplier relationships and in carrier relationships, being able to ship those kits out, meant that we were able to scale the program very quickly and very successfully. And for us, we've experienced long-term success in becoming the third-party logistics provider, not just for that kitting program, but for several others since then. So we can go to the next slide. This one is really cool. So a few years ago, an existing direct install customer came to us and said, "Hey, we love the work that you're doing distributing measures for our single family program. We'd really like to use you in our multifamily program, But we need those measures to be here at our office. For those of you who are in the Chicagoland area, I'm on First Avenue. They're also on First Avenue, but it's called Cumberland up by O'Hare. And while it's only an 11-mile trip, that's usually about an hour and a half in the truck just to get there. So we came up with a pretty cool solution. They also came to us because they admitted that they weren't the best at procuring and tracking inventory. Inventory, as you know, is cash, right? So as soon as you own that inventory, that's money that you've put out into the program. So they needed to be able to keep the inventory on site, but didn't really have the tools to manage it after that. What we did is we more or less came up with a self-checkout version of inventory supply. So we use our warehouse management software. We threw in a couple of other things like some surveillance cameras and some signage and a few other things to keep the storeroom organized. But we basically came up with a self-service hub where their technicians go in, they shop for their installation measures, and then do a self-checkout through the warehouse management software. And then we have somebody who goes there every week just to service the space. And we're on call all the time to help them with any technical challenges that might arise. So the impact that came from that versatile solution is that there really wasn't an investment in, we didn't have to come up with new equipment. We didn't have to come up with a new warehouse. We already had the warehouse management software being used here. We were able to apply it there. And for the customer, they can always log into their software account to get reporting on what inventory is available, what inventory is inbound, because of course they need that data to plan for future projects. And then it made the field teams significantly more efficient because they had a good way of securing and managing the inventory. And then they didn't have to make the trek to our warehouse every day before they hit the field for their jobs. So we'll go on to our third case study, which, if you know me, you know is going to be my favorite. So in 2022, one of our implementers just magically said, "Hey, good news, we're going to change this program from, I think we were at about 65,000 kits to closer to 130,000 kits." We had a few months' notice for that change, but that's a huge ramp up, especially when you are confined by physical space and the staffing that's needed to build those kits. So, since 2019, Green Home Experts has been committed to workforce development. We partner with two social service agencies and two high schools to provide job training and job opportunities for people with special needs. And so, we got really creative because we wanted to maintain that commitment to our workforce, but we needed a lot more staff. And so, in doing so, in achieving those goals, what we did was we created what we called the bullpen. We worked with those agencies and those high schools to create a pool of in-house temporary staff who could come in and still meet our workforce development goals, develop their work in supply chain employment, and then, of course, help our customer meet their program goals. And the nice thing about doing this is that we were able to adjust our staffing based on the seasonality of the program. And this is already in the impact section, but something that I just adore about our bullpen program is that we were able to maintain several staff from the bullpen who still work for us today. So the impact of that versatile solution is that we were able to fulfill a major volume increase on time. We made our customer very happy. They made their utility happy, and it's still a wonderful relationship to this day. We created flexible work opportunities for members in our community. Not everyone is cut out for a full-time job. Some people are going to school and need to work around that program or need to work around that schedule. Other people have other jobs, transportation limitations, you name it. So we were able to create some flexible work opportunities for them. And then, like I said, we still have some folks on staff from the good old bullpen days. So we are now on our final case study. which is a little bit of a detour from energy efficiency. But in 2019, when we were having all this success with our kit programs, we had a neighbor in our warehouse and then a colleague in the community who also owns a business. And separately, they both came to me and said, "Man, you guys are cranking out hundreds of thousands of kits a year. We can't get our own orders out the door. Would you consider shipping our orders for us?" So I like to say that we accidentally became a third-party logistics provider. Once COVID hit, this part of our business actually grew significantly. And so what we have today is we have GHE Fulfillment. Sorry, marketers, I know it's not the most creative company name. But I wanted to give it a separate division in the company so that the utilities weren't wondering why we were shipping beach towels or sewing patterns. But we, over the past 6 years, GHE Fulfillment has served clients, including the City of Chicago, ADP Payroll, Spirit Airlines, the Chicago Bulls, and my favorite, we support several e-commerce-based small businesses. And so the impact that came from that versatile solution of someone from the outside saying, "Wow, you guys are really good at this," to me saying, "I probably should have come up with that idea on my own, but thanks for the idea." We wanted to bend to meet the needs of other businesses in the community. And so we were able to expand our services beyond energy efficiency, which we all know diversifying your revenue is a really important strategy in any business. We gained a lot of logistics experience that we now use. That came from the fulfillment side. We use all of those lessons learned, including better carrier relationships, implementing our warehouse management software, and just best practices that's gone back over to the distribution and pick and pack side for our marketplace work. And then, like I said, not only did we create a new revenue stream, but we also helped our team diversify their skills. So now everyone who's working as a warehouse associate, they have not only experience in product distribution and kitting, but also in e-commerce fulfillment, which is a phenomenal skill to have. And I am very glad that you think case study number four is interesting. Thank you for that. I do too. So I've given some examples about why versatility is important to Green Home Experts, how it has helped us respond to customer needs, how it has helped us to grow, and how it has helped us through challenging times like the ones that we're in right now. But there has to be a little bit more thought put into what we acknowledge as versatility, because it can't always just be about responding to customer requests. We like to be proactive. That's a word that we use here a lot. And so there is some luck and some strategy and some planning and a lot of resilience and a ton of caffeine that goes into our approach to versatility. And in this instance, we have basically five components of our approach. The first one is creating a scalable infrastructure and processes on our client's timeline. So we need to take the best practices from the work that we've done and apply that to the new opportunities that are coming before us. It's really important, as you all know, to be able to say yes to a demand without compromising our performance. We don't just say yes to anything. We want to make sure that it's fitting within our capabilities, even if it might be a little bit of a new extension or a reach on what we've done. So, thinking beyond your walls, what does the customer have that we can apply? In some cases, it is leaning on the outreach staff for having an understanding of where our product is going for special events, knowing who to call at the food bank to get these kits or to get these kits delivered before Christmas, really being able to understand, and it's all, again, just like anything else, it's about having relationships. What does our customer have that we can use to make us both successful in meeting their program goals? And then pivoting with purpose. So I mentioned our core values at the beginning of our presentation. We like to start every presentation we do with that list of core values because it really does guide our decision making here. And I have found, and I'm sure you have too, that in challenging times, in times of uncertainty, in when it feels like a lot of doom and gloom, what are the things that I draw on? I draw on, again, caffeine, chocolate, my garden, my family, but also the core values that we use here. They really come into play, for making things happen. So this is the thank you, Mary Kate. This is the results of our second poll question, asking people what challenges have tested your flexibility the most in this past year. And it's really interesting. We have a three-way tie between budget cuts or resource constraints, staff turnover or personnel changes, and changing customer or client demands. Some people have acknowledged that the transition to going from remote to hybrid or hybrid to fully in office is creating a challenge. Personal and family responsibilities are the second after that three-way tie, and then also just keeping up with new technology and tools. So thank you. I think that information is really helpful because now you have a little bit of a sampling of what people in different parts of our industry and in different positions at their organizations are experiencing. And it's always good to be listening and to be hearing and to be having these conversations so that we know, what's at front of people's minds. And it also provides context for why, someone's acting a certain way or feeling a certain way or why a program is going another way. So we will go to our third and final question in our poll, which is in a professional setting, what does being versatile mean to you? I'm really curious to know exactly what you think. You can either choose one of those or you can choose all of them or some of them, whatever you think the most. And this would be a great place to enter any kind of question or commentary regarding this poll question, because I think we could all talk about this for a really long time. So we'll move over to our last two bullet points regarding our approach to versatility. So again, my staff makes fun of me because I love to say yes and then go figure things out. They, as you might imagine, don't love that as much. But when it comes to being a versatile program partner for your customers, and also just as importantly, when it comes to creating growth opportunities for your team that doesn't make your team want to kill you, it's important to stay open to these new business avenues, but also to know when to say no. We have definitely had to say no in the past, either because of square footage restrictions, because we didn't have an ample time to ramp up a program. We've just been asked to do work that's outside of our wheelhouse. After being in business for 18 years, we have finally have a pretty good feel for exactly what we're good at and we're sticking to it. So remember, it's okay to say no. And a lot of the time, if your gut is telling you to say no, then that's the decision that we should go with. We love to talk about our workforce here at Green Home Experts. And so, of course, in here, we are using our workforce as a growth engine. It is not just about the best practices and the processes and whatever you can put on paper, but most importantly, it's about the people. And so, we didn't get into this in this webinar, but because of our commitment to our workforce, Green Home Experts has never experienced a staffing shortage. And 2020 through pretty much like 2022, that was almost unheard of, especially in warehousing. We saw 3PLs shut down. We saw customers move their business from their existing 3PL to ours because our folks were coming to work every single day. And it's something that I will always remember as a very bright spot in an otherwise very dark time. But the point here is that as you build up your team's skill sets, you're building up their adaptability and versatility. So people like to feel autonomous in their work positions and they like to feel purpose. And so if you're giving them autonomy to make their decisions and to get their work done, and you're giving them purpose behind what they do, in our case, energy efficiency, and then you're helping them build their skill set, they're going to stick by you through the best of times and the worst of times. And I'm really proud to say that we have a lot of experience with that ourselves. So, in conclusion, I think you all have probably noticed this so far. Versatility is not a buzzword. You see it plastered on our walls throughout our offices and warehouses, but for us, it's a mindset. We don't just adapt, we anticipate, we collaborate with each other and with our customers, and we grow with purpose, not just for the sake of growing. Scaling overnight, rerouting deliveries mid-crisis, standing up a new company in response to need, our approach is rooted in our core values: integrity, versatility, commitment to excellence, growth-mindedness, and having fun. And Lazaro, I couldn't agree with you more. In order to evolve and grow, there must be consistent effort and dedication to find solutions. Relentlessness, 100%. I love that. Thank you. We should talk about that more offline. Everybody doing okay so far? Everyone's hanging in there. We haven't hit the post-lunch snooze fest yet. So this is we're coming up on the end of our on the end of our my presentation, and hopefully we can get into a little bit more conversation after this. But I wanted to just take a minute and acknowledge the responses that came in to our poll regarding what versatility means to you in a professional setting. So I think it's pretty cool. Most of you did say that it was all of the above, but after that came being open to feedback and change. Obviously, feedback and change can hurt. It's not always great for our ego. It can be very challenging, it can be very frustrating. It's just not always a good thing, but sometimes it's for the greater good or even for your own good. Now I really sound like a mom. What does being versatile mean to you? Our third most popular response was wearing multiple hats and being cross-trained, which we actually I just got done talking about. And then we still had a couple of votes for thinking creatively and staying calm. I do love a good grace under fire. Thank you for that and for taking that poll. I think that's really insightful. And again, versatility is a little bit different for everyone, so it's really nice to get a sense of what people are thinking and feeling when it comes to that question. So we have a couple of key takeaways here, and this is basically like a prep session on what you can do when it comes to your desire or your demand for being versatile in your organization. You definitely are going to want to assess your partners for versatility. So typically when we say partners, we mean customers, but we also mean colleagues. So anybody who's going to be involved in a program, it could be shipping carriers, it can be outreach personnel, it can be program managers, it can be your customer, it can be your staff. Really think about partner as a very broad word. Because if you're going to take on something that requires versatility, everyone's going to have to get on the versatility train. So are they 100% enthusiastic and have zero resources to get this done? Do they have all the resources in the world but no desire to do it? Hopefully there's a good balance between the two. Also, do your partners have a track record of being able to respond to these types of requests in the past and doing so successfully? And then what is their reputation for customer service? So we do everything that we can here to accommodate our customers without completely bending over backwards for them. And luckily for me, we have a great reputation for customer service. And so when you're looking at the partners that you're assessing, you know, find out about their track record, do a little bit of investigating, and make sure that they're going to be up to the challenge. My second key takeaway here is about why you should build flexibility into your company culture. Now, again, we're all in different companies. We're all in different parts of the industry, in different positions within those organizations. So for this, it's going to be a little different for all of us. But by putting flexibility into your company culture to the extent that you're able to, you are ensuring not just your resilience as an employee, but your organization's resilience. You're providing personal and professional growth opportunities. Flexibility is really good for employees because, as you can see in the past slides, it creates growth opportunities for your employees. And then my favorite is you start to develop a reputation for being a reliable partner. I had a customer a few weeks ago call me up and he said, Maria, the reason I love to call you is I know when I talk to you, it's going to get done. And that means the world to me, but it also means that versatility is right at the top of the list of our core values. And then, of course, the third takeaway is doing a gut check. So ask yourself in any situation or potential scenario that you might be getting into, are you bending or are you breaking? So remember the palm tree slide. If you break, you're not going to be around to enjoy the beachside view of the ocean and the warm sunlight on your face. But if you bend, so if you accommodate your customer, if you do what you can to be versatile without sacrificing your own or your organizational health, that's when you know you're in the sweet spot. So you can achieve that by bringing every department into the conversation. I mentioned that a few minutes ago about, all your different partners, but remember that also extends to marketing, finance, sales, operations, you name it. Everybody has to be on board, or as I like to say, rowing in the same direction. Know when to walk away and make sure that everybody's on the same page. So a new opportunity for some might be really exciting. For others, it might be really anxiety inducing. Some folks might say this is an easy lift. Others might say this is impossible. And you just want to have those difficult conversations at the beginning, so that you can understand where everybody is, in the situation before you go all hands on deck. So that was it for our takeaways. So this is where I would love to open things up. If you have a question or if there's something that you would like to discuss, please feel free to enter that into the chat. You're also more than welcome to unmute yourself. You don't have to come off cam on camera if you don't want to. But we do have about 15 minutes here. We have a phenomenal audience. So I would just love to hear from all of you if you have any questions or if there's anything in particular to this that you wanted to discuss.
You can ask to raise your hand, and I can give you permissions to unmute. So it looks like we have a question from Lazaro. So I'm going to allow you to go ahead and come off of mute, Lazaro, and you can ask your question.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I have a question. This one's kind of a complex one. I've been at this one for about maybe let's say about a year and a half to 2 years. I'm really trying to like be an overall service where I get people obviously the amazing service, top performance. I get people their rebates. Through ComEd or whatever utility company, People's Gas. I'm People's Gas Trade Ally, but I've been trying to find and master the art of the IRA and the tax incentives. So I have a friend of mine that he does taxes, but he's in Florida, and I've literally called the IRS. I've asked several questions, and then they have these forms out, but they kind of keep changing. And they keep adding and subtracting to the forms. Is there a way or a website or something that I maybe would be a good idea to create how people can benefit from these incentives and like the different various types? Because I deal with not only homeowners but also business owners, and I find that especially more over for the business owners that I think they'd be able to use. And they're more focused on their taxes and their and getting, not tax deductions, but the incentives so they can apply so they can pay less taxes in the long run. Is there an approach you advise or someone I can speak to? Because I don't like to just assume. I'm highly against assuming. I like to verify and like execute with accuracy. So, efficiency.
Great.
Who is someone I can speak to about, questions I have, how, or an organization, like what's the best approach? I know in these cases you can't guarantee anyone anything because taxes, but have an overall understanding, of how you business owners or even homeowners can take advantage of these tax incentives because I feel like that. through out of all the things, you know, I've been in the energy efficiency business for a good while now. And I deal with ComEd, and I was sponsored by ComEd and Elevate and became a people's trade ally. So I'm heavily into this, but I haven't been really bumped into anyone who really offers these tax incentives. And I'd like to take full approach of this opportunity for people. Do you have any recommendations?
Sorry, there we go. Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? In my experience, you might benefit from getting a little bit of information from some local business councils. Like I know we get information from the West Suburban Chamber of Commerce here. I am a WBE certified firm, and so I get a lot of information from the Women's Business Development Center. If you're a minority business enterprise, I know there are a lot of resources from their certifying councils. That's how we typically get this information. I will do the shameless plug for MIA and say that their resources are phenomenal in being able to keep people informed about the consistent changes. It is so difficult from a federal level right now to keep up with like anything, right, without getting whiplash. And I can understand why the IRS or even an accountant wouldn't really be the best resource for that. But if you can take a look, like I don't know if you've been able to look at any of the websites for IRA or anything like that, but I know they do post updates about the program on their website.
Cool. A question came in the chat. It asks, from your perspective, what would you consider the one or two main challenges that we'll need to adjust to under the current federal administrative changes? And if you have time, how would you recommend that they adjust?
That one's a doozy, Jeff. Thanks for lobbing up that softball for me. I appreciate it. So again, I mean, it's just total whiplash, right? And so what we're doing is we are trying to ensure that we have revenue sources and plans for business development that go outside of federal funding, because we don't want to put all of our eggs in one basket. It's the same thing when it comes to utility funding, ensuring that our revenue is coming from a variety of sources so that if God forbid, something were to tank, we have the other funding sources left to keep us, to shore us up. So I do think that again, just the whiplash is so hard. And this probably isn't along the lines of what you were expecting, but I do think that it's really important that we are taking a step back from the chaos and the whiplash and making sure that we're taking care of each other. So having meaningful conversations, just checking in on people. How are you doing? This stuff is really scary. When it comes to our businesses or how we make a living, it's really challenging to feel like someone else is the puppeteer. So just having that personal connection with the folks that you work with, I think, is so important. And I know it's always really encouraging to know that other people are feeling as miserable as I am, or if they're feeling more optimistic than I am, it has a tendency to rub off. I would also say that the tariffs are creating a gigantic challenge for us. Not just from a pricing perspective, but we're seeing some availability in very important products. The availability is drying up. So again, it's a whiplash thing. We got hit with these gigantic tariffs, and so we had a lot of canceled POs that were supposed to be coming over from China. Now that the tariff situation has eased up at least somewhat, the demand for the product never went away, but now we need to wait until that product arrives here. And so we're seeing gaps in supply chain that are going to hit probably in the next 2 weeks. How do we address that? It is kind of a versatility thing. Are there other suppliers? Are there other manufacturers who you can lean on at least just temporarily until your mainstay can get you what you need again? And it's communication. So checking in with your clients, hey, this is we're going to have a supply gap here. Is there any way you could delay your jobs until that gap has come to an end? Or can you shore up your order on other inventory so that you can still claim savings on the programs while we wait for that other stuff to come by?
Thanks. Again, feel free to throw any more questions in the chat or the Q&A box. But Maria, here's another question. How can companies assess their partners' versatility and ensure they are ready to adapt to unforeseen challenges in the market?
That's a wonderful question. So I think that it's really important, in the industry that we're in, it's a pretty small world, right? A lot of times we are like a partner and a competitor and a friend, and maybe a frenemy, all working on the same thing. And so, I mean, again, reputation just goes such a long way, but take a look at what the ask is for your partner. Is the ask about program outreach? Well, if the ask is for program outreach, then the hope, of course, is that they have a lot of experience in program outreach. If it comes down to rebate processing, have they done other rebate processing programs in the past and are their customers happy? If you have something kind to say as a referral, typically you're pretty willing to share that information. And so I think it's okay if you don't know how a partner has performed in the past, I think it's okay to reach out and ask this prospect, hey, could you give us a couple of referrals? And then maybe do a little bit of digging around on your own to see if that partner has succeeded in the past.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the versatility assessment tool?
I'd love to, sure. So, as my little gift to everyone today, as a thank you for coming, we did create a self-assessment, which is going to be emailed to you with a recording of this webinar. And I encourage you, please feel free to share it with anybody who will listen. Clearly, I like to talk a lot. I also like to talk a lot about versatility, and I hope that you can take this, what you've learned from this, and spread the versatility gospel to your friends and colleagues. Call your mom, tell your dog, anybody who will listen. But you will be getting a self-assessment, which you are more than welcome to use. Take the assessment for yourself as an individual, take the assessment for your organization, and hopefully you'll be able to use it as a part of a foundation for some decisions that you have coming up in the future. And truly, I think in regards to that conversation and in regards to a lot of what's been discussed in the past hour, just remember that everybody, in one way or the other, is experiencing a ton of whiplash right now. And it is very stormy, and you're not alone. And I think we are all surrounded by partners in crime who are going through a lot of the same challenges, and reach out to each other and check in on each other. And before you know it, hopefully some of the storm clouds will have passed.
Great. The chat will stay open for a couple more minutes, but I just want to flip to Maria's contact info as well.
So there I am. That's what I look like when my hair is brushed better. Please feel free to reach out to me anytime about this presentation or anything that you'd like to discuss in the future. I would love to connect with anybody who's interested after the webinar.
And as Maria stated, the slides will go out as well as the recording. After the webinar. So, unless there are any more questions, I will do a shameless plug for upcoming MIA webinars, and I can leave this off as people sign off. But thank you so much to Maria for a great presentation today. Keep an eye on your inboxes for the versatility assessment tool, Maria's contact info, her slides, the recording to this webinar. And we hope to see you all soon.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you, wonderful women at MIA, for making this happen. This was great. I appreciate all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone, and thank you, Maria, for all of your insights.
Have a great rest of your week, everyone.